who still reside within the confines of the city. I hear your every word like you spoke it.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of Social Justice Radio, a program put on by the Development Studies Society here at CineFX, located on traditional Mi'kmaq territory. You're here with the producers of this week's show, Lisa Gunn and
Rachel Garbery.
And we have a great show lined up for you again this week. We're going to be talking about Treaty Day, Mi'kmaq rights, lots of really great and interesting things that link up with the Mi'kmaq community here in Anishinaabe as well as all across Canada. So we have interviews with students here at CineFX, with the Aboriginal Student Advisor. We have some great Mi'kmaq music lined up for you guys to listen to, so make sure to stay tuned. It should be a great and very informative show.
And just in case our listeners aren't aware, October is actually Mi'kmaq month in Nova Scotia. So it's actually a whole month to celebrate Mi'kmaq culture and really recognize the history of the land that we're living on. So October 1st was Treaty Day, which is one of the main focuses of our show tonight. So Treaty Day is, it's every October 1st, and it's to commemorate the relationship that exists between the Mi'kmaq people and the Queen. So essentially it's a day to recognize the treaties that were signed between the Europeans and the Mi'kmaq in 1724 when the Europeans landed in Nova Scotia. So when the English arrived in Mi'kma'ki, which is the Mi'kmaq homeland, which includes present-day Nova Scotia, Prince Edward Island, central and eastern New Brunswick, the Gaspé Peninsula, and Newfoundland, the Mi'kmaq and the Crown signed treaties of peace and friendship so that they could live in harmony and peace. The treaty showed the Crown's intentions to make peace, provide trading posts, and protect the land and way of life for the Mi'kmaq people. The treaty also designated October 1st as the date on which the Mi'kmaq people would receive gifts from the Crown to renew their friendship and submissions. So that's just a little bit of history for anyone who's not aware about Treaty Day or what it means or even what those treaties represent. So we're going to play...
Can I just quickly say one thing?
Yeah.
One thing that's super unique about the treaties that that the Mi'kmaq people have is that they were signed before Confederation. So before Canada became an actual country, these treaties were signed. So a lot of people think that Indigenous people today aren't their own nation, don't have their own sovereignty. But the fact is, before Canada was a country, the Queen of England and the colonial empire basically recognized the Mi'kmaq people as their own nation. So that's one thing that's important to keep in mind when we're talking about the treaties in Nova Scotia, is that they were signed before Canada is what it is today.
Yeah, and the fact that they still have such a large role to play in our lives today, and the way that the treaties kind of manifest in the rights of the land and especially Mi'kmaq people, but also affect all of us. So, and a lot of that will be further discussed by Ashley Julian. So I'm going to move into an interview now with Ashley Julian and Molly Peters, and then there will be some great music and more to come. So here you are. All right, so we're here with Molly Peters, who is the Aboriginal Student Advisor here at CineFX, and also with Ashley Julian, who is a first-year education student, education student here at X. So thank you for taking the time, both of you, to talk with me today. And I know that we've just entered into Mi'kmaq History Month, so I thought we could talk a little bit first about what's been going on campus. Maybe we could first talk about what happened on Monday.
Sure. So on Monday, we actually organized Orange T-Shirt Day. Orange T-Shirt Day was recognized to honor all survivors and those that passed on that were part of the residential school. And it was a recognized event that was hosted all across Canada, and it's going to be an annual event every year on September 30th as the Orange T-Shirt Day. And there is a lady, a YouTube link that you can look up, but the Orange T-Shirt was, when she had to go to residential school, she was excited about it, and so she went out and she got an Orange T-Shirt. Little did she know that when she was gone into the residential school, they had taken her Orange T-Shirt from her, given her a number, shaved her head, and put her with the girls and told her she was not allowed to speak to her siblings nor speak in her own language. So when she looks back on the residential school always reminds her of that orange t-shirt.
Oh, wow, that's really powerful. Thank you. And I mean, I felt like Monday was a nice gathering of people. How did you feel about it?
I felt that it was really nice because we got there a little bit early, and I told Molly and I said, I wonder how many people are going to come out. I was a little bit like just taken by surprise that when 12:30 rolled around, there were orange t-shirts coming in from all directions at Confucius Square. And we had enough people to actually fill the whole circle. So like there was must have been, I say, about 50 plus people in yeah. that circle. And that just really taken me by like so much empathy in the fact that people are here to bring recognition to the survivors and to take that moment to say that, you know, a lot of them are still alive and a lot of them that have suffered from that pain, you know, after or during. And it was beautiful. And I was just taken away from how many people that came and participated in our small ceremony that we've had, which just included a smudging circle, included a moment of silence, and it also included the Mi'kmaq honor song.
That's great. And what a build up in within Mi'kmaq History Month to October 1st, which is Treaty Day. And maybe you could talk a little bit about Treaty Day, the significance behind it.
Okay. So from memory, Treaty Day is recognized in 1972 treaty, the Peace and Friendship Treaty, and it's a proclamation to show that Mi'kmaq people and Acadians and French during prior to contact wanted to implement that we are here and let's make peaceful terms, and hence the Friendship and Peace Treaty. And so Treaty Day is annually celebrated on October 1st. It signifies an honor in these treaties that we've signed with the Crown, and the government has brought recognition to say that October 1st is Treaty Day. To go into a little bit more, I wish I had some background information.
That's okay. Whatever you know is
yeah.
great.
And the event has always been the same. It takes place in Halifax. It begins with a ceremonial Catholic religion church ceremony, and it's really nice because Sister Dorothy Moore comes in and she sings. She'd be a great person to sing her that song, and we'll look her up after this. But Sister Dorothy Moore sings a really beautiful song, and after the church ceremony, it begins with a parade. And in that parade, you'll have drumming, you'll have dancers, you'll have people dressed up in regalia, and they walk down Barrington Street down to the Grand Parade Square. Mm-hmm. And then at the Grand Parade Square, they'll have the flag raising where they'll raise the Mi'kmaq flag and they'll raise the Canadian flag, and it's to honor that treaty recognition. This year was the first year that they didn't open Parliament House to the actual traditional when they unveil the new Treaty Day poster, and they also handled some awards, but they had it at the World Trade Convention Center this year, and it was really nice because they normally have a really big feast, and then after the feast they bring in all the Sa'amaos, which stands for chiefs, and they bring in the Geji captain, and they bring in the Grand Captain, which are also part of the Grand Council, mm-hmm. which is really our Grand Council was our form of politics prior to individual Indian Act chiefs and councils. Mm-hmm. So they were the ones that made the decisions prior to falling under the Indian Act. And they do a few speeches, like the Geji captain came up and talked about the Treaty Day and talked about the honor. And there's actually a good news clip in the Chronicle Herald that you might be able to bring up in reference to, like if you mm-hmm. wanted to cut and add, like just a piece of you reading what Andale Denny, what he said, would be really perfect to just recapture what he said on Treaty Day, and that's in the Chronicle Herald.
So thanks for saying a little bit about what happened there, and what was the mood like in Halifax on Tuesday, and how was the energy of the crowd?
Considering that it was downpouring rain during the parade and all morning, and it didn't settle down till afternoon, that inside the World Trade Convention Center, the mood was awesome. You see people hugging each other. You see children run around. You see craft vendors set up selling traditional crafts. And it's really nice because you see people that are in their comfort zone. In their comfort zone in meaning that, you know, you can wear your traditional regalia without having to explain it, or you can just be in a place that you know you're there for recognition, mm-hmm. you're there to honor, you're there for just taking pride in, you know, the understanding of culture and being a Mi'kmaq and being in Mi'kmaq territory. So I kind of, like, I was, like, really taken back from it because myself this year, I had the opportunity to get the Sister Dorothy Moore Scholarship, Educational Scholarship.
Congratulations.
And thank you very much. And my grandmother, Becky Julian, also got the Donald Marshall Senior Elders Award.
Wow.
So for myself and my grandmother to be there, she actually raised me. So it was really nice to be honored with her and to be at the same ceremony where we're both being recognized.
Wow. And do you feel like, I mean, you mentioned the article about Denny,
mm-hmm.
About Father Denny, which I will touch on. But do you think feel like there were any messages from the day or any kind of closing notes that
mm-hmm.
that you took away with you?
Yeah, I always love listening to Andale Denny speak, and Andale really, like, touches home because he talked about that, you know, we're here not to surrender or execute any types of rights, and that Treaty Day is just to signify that, you know, we made this treaty with the Crown of Friendship and Peace Treaty, which just signify that, you know, we're here to make a peaceful relationship and to honor that relationship and to keep it continual, and that to also educate the next seven generations.
Great. Thank you so much. So now we're just going to play an honor song, which was recorded on Monday when we were recognizing the survivors of residential schools. And so here you go. This is from Confucius Square on Monday. This is a live recording.
Survivors that have survived. And we're just going to say a prayer and we'll do a 1 minute of silence just to bring recognition to all our survivors.
Thank you.
thankful everybody had an opportunity to come over and honor all the residential school survivors today.
So welcome back to Social Justice Radio. What we just heard was the traditional Mi'kmaq honor song. And so I'm here with Ashley Julian, and we're just going to talk a little bit about Idle No More. So Ashley, what has your role been in the Idle No More movement?
I say I've been part of Idle No More since 1985.
Awesome.
Because I don't think I've ever had an opportunity to be idle. My whole life I've been part of an activist movement from my great aunt Anna Mae Aquash, and just bringing recognition to her. And not only that, being involved just this year, our past 2 years, with all the Idle No More movements, I participated in a lot of demonstrations through the fasting, through walks, through flash mobs, to, you know, just being actively participating. And I always like to show up in my traditional regalia. There has been many roadblocks, there have been train blocks, we've been in Halifax marching over McDonald Bridge, we were at Porcupine Lodge in Millbrook, and now we're especially involved in New Brunswick with the trying to discard any type of fracking that's taken place and the effects that it has on land. With the amount of drinking water that we have, it's a privilege, and Mother Earth is a privilege, and I believe Idle No More coincides with Mother Earth. And when Aboriginal and Indigenous people are speaking up across North America, it's to respect Mother Earth, because Mother Earth is crying. She's crying in her ceremonies, and if we continue to frack and we continue to extract oil and eliminate the resources that we need for survival, then what is going to be here for the next 7 generations? I believe we're a greedy generation, and we want more money and we want more power to provide for what, you know, the living. But it's not just us that's going to come into this world. It's our children, it's our grandchildren, it's our great-grandchildren. And if we're not careful, look at other countries that are in, you know, turmoil, because Brazil, for example, you cannot have drinking water there. You know, they're all drinking out of bottled water. Does Canada, does the United States, do we want to, in North America, be drinking just bottled water, spending $4 for water? You know, a necessity that we need as humans to survive. We are so privileged that we can just run our taps and drink it. And that's one of the reasons why Idle No More speaks up. Idle No More also speaks up on all the bills that have been passed. For example, you know, the audit reports on, you know, our chiefs and councils. Not only that, it's just, it's still a colonized way of living, and it says, you know, who's not to say that when you discuss in democracy, where does democracy include enslavement? When does this democracy talk about genocide? You know, those are all the experiences that, you know, minorities or Aboriginal people or Indigenous people or Black Americans or Black Canadians have encountered here. And so I think Idle No More is a movement that's going to continue. I think it's going to be it's just in the beginning phases. A lot of people say that it's something that's just going to rise up and then it's going to calm down. But I think that this up on the horizon is not just something that's just going to be, I think it's just slow and steady, and it's just blooming. You know, they talk about more Aboriginal people becoming self-identified as Indigenous. And once you become culturally background or relevant in knowing your background, it's not only the Indigenous, it's the, I think there is a lot of people in this world now that are a part of the Rainbow Generation, and you no longer need to be given a number, like, you know, residential school survivors with our status cards. You know, I self-identify. We were talking about this last night, that what number are you? You know, oh, I'm 2519. When you go into the store, they ask for your status card number. Like, you're still given a number. Then there's always the talks about, you know, what percentage are you? And when I talk about the Rainbow Generation, it's a prophecy that was told, that would foretold, that we're in the 7th generation now, and you don't need to be 1%, 2%, Mi'kmaq or First Nations, you can be of any percentage, or you can even self-identify as being Indigenous, because it's a cultural belief, it's a traditional upbringing, it's knowing that you're here to protect Mother Earth, our natural resources, the waters, and I think that's where Idle No More is going for. And it's not just through the these bills that are being signed through the government and making recognition, but it's also just getting a voice out there that, you know, we are uniting all across North America, and it's uprising because majority of First Nations people moved off reserve and they're not getting any recognition until, like, you know, over the next past decade they're getting recognized. And the more and more that they're being recognized, the more numbers are going to continue to increase with the number of Indigenous population.
Yeah, and I love that you linked the Idle No More movement to really protecting our natural resources and something that connects, you know, Indigenous people in Canada also with settlers, with Canadian citizens. And like you said, drinking water is such a privilege, something that we all need to work on together to maintain for our children and grandchildren. And really inspiring, everything that you're talking about. I'm so glad to be getting this on the radio and kind of getting that the I Don't Know More voice out there. And what would you say, like, what are some ways that non-Aboriginal, non-Indigenous students or youth can get involved with I Don't Know More? What are some small changes you think that they can make or efforts they can take to try to get more involved?
Wake up. Like, really, wake up. Get involved. Don't feel there is any disconnect between you and an Indigenous person. You're also living on Mother Earth. We are all here holding hands through different colors, through different races, through different skin color, eye color, hair color. We're all here. We're all one. And if we live in unity, it's when we are going to be able to sustain what we have. And sustain what we have is the importance. Because when you listen to elders talk and you listen to the oral history of, like, you know, given these elders talking, they're talking about the importance of us living in harmony. And that also reconnects with Treaty Day, the Peace and Friendship Treaty, to live in harmony, to live in peace, to be one with each other.
Yeah, thank you so much for that. So, wake up. I think that's good advice for everybody. So now we're just going to play a Mi'kmaq song by artist Holly Jane, and she gives a great little intro about what her song's about and how it relates to Mi'kmaq history and to Aboriginal rights. So here we go.
So this next song is in my language, the Mi'kmaq tribe, and it was written by a woman who passed away a few years ago, so this is like almost a memory of her, and it's about how us Mi'kmaq children are proud to be who we are. So we ask the elders to help us, because someday we will be the leaders, and we are slowly losing our language, so we want to keep that pride that we have. So this is Ninan Nomigamajij.
welcome back to Social Justice Radio. Tonight we're talking about Treaty Day, Mi'kmaq History Month, and I Don't Know More. So once again, we're here with Ashley Julian, who is a second-year education student at St. FX here. And so, Ashley, what can you say about the link between I Don't Know More, Mi'kmaq History Month, and social justice? How do you think that those ideas connect and play out when we're celebrating Mi'kmaq history and Mi'kmaq culture?
Mi'kmaq History Month in social okay, let me start over again.
Sure.
I drew blanks. Mi'kmaq History Month and social justice tie into each other because it's about sharing a culture, it's about unity, it's about recognition, it's about honor, and it's encompasses so much because it's letting Canadians know that prior to contact, there are these traditional ways of living, there's these traditional livelihoods, cultures and practices and beliefs that took place over the years, and to know that we're in the 21st century and to continue these practices and know that, you know, this culture hasn't completely died off is tremendous in recognizing that, you know, a month is being recognized for Mi'kmaq, Mi'kmaq History Month, or Mi'kmaq in general. When you look at it, we encompass a lot of Canada. We're the Atlantic. We are part of New Brunswick, PEI, Quebec, United States, down in Maine, Nova Scotia, and Newfoundland, if I did not mention that. And not only are we here with the Mi'kmaq, but we are here with the Maliseet. And there's the language is alive, the culture is alive. You see immersion programs that are existing now within the schools. You see after-school programs where you can learn how to bead, make crafts. And not only that, I Don't Know More stands for these things. You see the school curriculum now includes more than 5% of Mi'kmaq history in their Canadian Studies book. A lot of schools have Mi'kmaq studies, and in the post-secondary level, you can get a curriculum now that actually allows you as a student to get out there and read into these Indigenous cultures, and there's more academia now that has these Mi'kmaq people that are producing, you know, publishable material because they have their PhDs, they are, you know, part of the academia. And Mi'kmaq History Month includes and encompasses all of us in, yeah, if you could ask me a question, that'd be nice.
Yeah, sure. No, thanks so much. So I guess recognizing this history, and especially the land that we're living on, and sharing it with Mi'kmaq people and other nations, as you as you mentioned, the Maliseet. How does that create a more socially just community to live in when we understand each other better? Why is that so important?
It's so important because if you just think 10 years ago, when I was in high school, there was racism, existed, discrimination, prejudice, and not only that, if you only go 20 years ago, it was hard to visualize going off the reserve and feeling welcomed in communities, or if you're going for a drive in parts of Nova Scotia and just feeling neglect, you know, negligence towards you because of your dark brown skin. It goes to show that we have evolved and we are going to continue to evolve, and that there are a number of, like, kind-hearted people. There's more inclusion, there's diversity, and we're evolving as a society and in a community. And the Maritimes is very rich in culture, which is a beautiful thing. And to I recognize and bring about that they are able to celebrate Mi'kmaq History Month. You see posters in all the schools, you see posters in friendship centers, you see them everywhere now, all over cities. And so people are actually getting out there and they're recognizing that, you know, there are Mi'kmaq people and it still exists. And it's not just, you know, you're not only an Indian since 1972 or They say, you know, ever since the Indian Act, that you're this is you, and we don't need to self-identify, like I mentioned earlier, by these numbers. And you know, what we are trying to work towards is just that bringing pride home. Mm-hmm. Since the residential school era, it has really stripped away a language. It has stripped away culture. It has made a lot of our parents in the older generation not feel that they are honored to be Mi'kmaq, and that the elders are ashamed of what happened to them. So as a part of the younger generation, I'm looking forward to the next generation, because we are the ones that are going to teach our children that, you know, there's no division, there's no separation, and that, you know, you can take pride, and if you want to go and show your culture and demonstrate who you are, that you can do that at any place, at any time, and that, you know, you're not going to, you know, be charged for stepping off the reserve type of, like, where I'm getting to. So it's really nice, and to tie that to social justice, because social justice, like you mentioned earlier, it's about the colonization, it's about that, you know, taking the Indian out of the child during the residential school era. It's about, you know, making everyone speak the same language so that we can communicate, because English is a foreign language. You know, the Mi'kmaq language is very traditionally alive, and we need to sustain that, because a language shows your customs, it shows your values, it shows your beliefs. The Mi'kmaq language is so respectable that it honors, you know, your truth, it honors humility, the seven sacred grandfathers' teachings. And the social justice era is that it brings peace, it's harmony, it's... I'm repeating myself now.
That's okay. Thanks. I know you alluded a little bit to this before in what you said, but what is your vision for change for people in Canada living in harmony together?
I say let's mobilize Indigenous governance. Let's mobilize to become these Indigenous natives across, you know, Canada, and unite and work together and find a common ground that allows us to protect, sustain, you know, not being about greed and politics and power, and know that the economy will continue to rise and crash and go up in stocks and go down, and that money is materialistic, but you know, love and peace and truth comes from the heart. And as a people, if we can live in these traditional ways, then we're working towards a social just community. You know, it's proactive, it's pro-socializing in a way that's good. It's not Canadian-like.
Thank you so much. And I know there's another event coming up tomorrow, and would you like to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, do you want to play a song first?
Sure. Okay, let's play a song. So we're going to hear from Lee Cremo. So he is a really well-known and highly recognized award-winning fiddler from Escassoni, Cape Breton. Unfortunately, he passed away in 1999, but we're going to play one of his songs for you. So here you go. Here's Lee Cremo.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Social Justice Radio. What we just heard was Constitution Breakdown by Lee Cremo, who is a fiddler from Escassoni in Cape Breton. And now Ashley's just going to talk a little bit about an upcoming event.
Yes, all right. So each year on October 4th, communities across Canada come together to honor the lives of missing and murdered Aboriginal women, girls, men and boys, to remember the sisters, the brothers, the sons, the daughters, the mothers, fathers, grandmothers, and grandfathers that have been tragically taken, that have been murdered, and hence why it's the Murdered and Missing Aboriginal Women. And this year especially, they want to give honor to the missing men and boys and brothers that also have been tragically taken, and that their bodies aren't found. And Sisters in Spirit, what we are putting on is a vigil, an expo that's going to take place tomorrow outside the Angus L. McDonald Library. And what we're going to have set up is a tent, and around our tent we're going to have empty shoes. And the empty shoes are going to signify the absence of these men and women and these that are gone, missing, or murdered. And that's going to be from 8 a.m. till 8 p.m. And during the day, there's going to be posters with some facts. And then from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., we'll have an info booth where we'll have people that are going to be handing out some facts, just to bring recognition to Sisters in Spirit. And the Aboriginal students at X Society will be there, Unsilence the Violence, which are violence against women. They're a team that's led by students on campus here at St. Evex. And the Aboriginal Student Advisor, Molly Peters, will be engaged. And at 12:30 to 1, we're actually going to have a read-in of the National Women's Associations of Canada. They have a joint statement to recognize Sisters in Spirit. And also, we'll have a petition there that we're going to send away. And we'll be serving hot chocolate, so make sure you come on out, get your hot chocolate. And we're going to re-sing the honor song again, and you know, hopefully get more singers out and involved. And just be there. Come and see that. At 7 p.m. we're going to do candle lighting, where we'll light candles to recognize all these missing and murdered Aboriginal men and women this year. And for an hour, the candles will be lit. And all the shoes that we are collecting, there's a drop box at the library, there's a place to drop off shoes at the Student Union at St. Evex on campus, and there's also a location at the Antigonish Resource Center at 204 Kirk Place on 219 Main Street. You can go and drop your shoes off there. These shoes, I'm letting you know now, are going to be donated to a First Nations community, an Aboriginal community in Nunavut and in Labrador. So we're trying to get as many as you can. So if you're out there and you're listening now, bring in your new, used, old, you know, it doesn't even matter. Just bring in the shoes. They are going to go to somebody. And if you don't get the chance to drop them off today, by all means, come out tomorrow and just lay your shoes down at our expo. And feel free at any time to just come by and just take a picture or just take a look. If you feel there's anything you want to donate, be there and, you know, participate. We are inviting everybody out to kind of just be recognized. And I just want to give a big shout out to the Aboriginal students at X Society. They're really involved this year. We have 70 First Nations students and Aboriginal Indigenous students here at St. Evex. And we have a great community, and it's real. It's about working together. It's about providing direction. It's about getting involved and, you know, like waking up.
That's great. Thank you so much, Ashley. And so to everyone listening, there are tons of great opportunities to go learn more about Sisters in Spirit and, you know, to get engaged with some of these issues that we've been talking about. So thank you so much, Ashley.
You're welcome. Just join us. Get involved.
Great. And so now we're going to play a song called Forgiveness by Pikun Pulet.
Mm-hmm. And also, Bigun was a residential school survivor, and he is from Cape Breton, at Mi'kmaq, and he just passed this year. So this is honoring, as we did on Monday with our orange t-shirts, all of those survivors of the residential school.
right, welcome back to Social Justice Radio. We just finished listening to a song by Pickin Poulet called Forgiveness, and a pretty extensive interview with Ashley Julian, an education student here at Santa Fex, touching on I'll Know More, Treaty Day, Mi'kmaq History Month, and some of the events that are going on campus. And once again, you're here listening to 93.3 FM The Fox with the producers of this week's show, Lisa Gunn and
Rachel Garbery. And now we're going to hear from Sheila Isaac, who is the program manager for Indigenous Women and Community Leadership at the Cody International Institute here. She's also a former policy analyst for the Aboriginal Relations Office at Human Resources and Skills Development Canada. So she really has a lot of experience with policy analysis. So she's going to give us her thoughts on why the treaties are so important, why it's so important to recognize and honor the peace and friendship treaties, and how they really affect not only First Nations people in Canada, but also all of us living in Canada today. So here's an interview with Sheila Isaac.
All right. So why is it important to acknowledge the treaties and Treaty Day on October 1st?
I think it's important because we use treaties in our case law in Canada to move things forward. For example, here in Nova Scotia, we utilized the Peace and Friendship Treaties in the Marshall decision, and that's what helped us win that court case. I was part of that court case as a Mi'kmaq lawyer, and it was really interesting to work with Junior Marshall and the chiefs and the rest of the Mi'kmaq lawyers during that court case, but that's what helped us. And the Grand Chief, Donald Marshall Sr., implemented Treaty Day, I believe, in 1986, and he did that even before he knew his son was ever going to have to go to the Supreme Court of Canada, but he knew treaties were important to fight for our rights here on this land. The other treaties, because the Peace and Friendship Treaties is just one group of treaties, there's another group of treaties that have to deal with the Hudson Bay and the trapping and the fur trade, so there's treaties there. And then there's 11 number treaties, and those go from Ontario all the way up to the Northwest Territories. And the 11 number treaties have to do with building a railway. But, of course, at the time, the First Nation people didn't know they were building a railway. And they did not reap any benefits from that. So Treaty Day is so important for the people out west because they are card-carrying treaty card members. They're members of treaties. So in the East Coast, we don't carry a treaty card because it's not the same type of treaty. But if you ever hear about people who are called treaty people, you're mostly hearing about those number treaties. And they get money, like annually they'll get like $5 a year. And it's so important for them to acknowledge that treaty and keep that treaty alive, because that's how they have to fight for their rights under those treaties, because the way they saw it was a different view from how the government viewed it. So there's still a lot of court cases in play, and we have to keep their treaties alive by acknowledging them.
Wonderful. And what do you think that this has to do with social justice today or in recent history? How do these treaties, how do they affect everything that's going on in our country today?
Well, I think that for the first thing to say is that a lot of people don't even understand treaties. And I think that Canada has to play a bigger role in educating people here in Canada, because the more that people don't understand about Aboriginal issues and rights and treaties, the more they're not going to understand why there's blockades and why there's protests. And the whole Idle No More movement, I believe, was a move in that direction to educate civil society about what's happening in Canada and what's happening with Aboriginal people. Because right now, the omnibus bills that were passed are going to affect all of our rivers and lakes. We're talking about a million lakes and rivers. We're talking about a lot of environmental damage. You know, we're also talking about an omnibus, how it's going to affect First Nation people. And people around Canada don't understand how that's really going to affect everybody. Because even if it affects us on our First Nation territories, it's going to affect them. So the Idle No More movement was really, in my understanding of it, a movement towards working and allying with non-Aboriginal people. It was to talk about what our issues are, but not mainly. The main thing was to partner up together to fight these omnibus bills to protect our rivers and lakes and our waters and our environment. Mm-hmm. That was the main purpose, because that's what's going to affect not only this generation, but the generations to come. So social activism is so important, and what we were hoping to do here at St. FX was have an I Don't Know More conversation with St. FX students, but there was a strike last year. So that strike really affected that opportunity. Although we did do a couple of I Don't Know More things, we didn't really get to the real students. We didn't really let them know how these omnibus are going to affect us. And now that the election is coming up, this mm-hmm. could be something that we could bring to the people who are asking us for their vote. You know, is it going to be the NDP who are going to, you know, rescind that omnibus bill, or do they agree with that those omnibus bills? Did a Liberal government say that they're going to be rescinding that? You know, we already know that the Progressive Conservatives are the ones that put these omnibus bills in, so we know that they're not going to rescind it. But, like, don't you want your kids to take advantage of lakes and rivers and camping? Like, Canada is a beautiful country like nowhere else, and there's so many beautiful places. I went to the Yukon this year, and I was just blown away about how beautiful it is up there. And it was only 2 hours away from Alaska, so that was pretty cool too. So I'd like to see more people involved and thinking about how voting in the election is going to really affect them and their children to come. And I'd like to see the Canadian government change the education system to include the real history. You know, because a lot of people don't know about the Japanese internment camps or the German internment camps or the Chinese head tax, and they don't understand how we're not really learning the real history of Canada. And that includes Aboriginal, because people think that I don't pay taxes, people think that I don't pay for my education, people think that everything is given to me, you know, free on a silver platter, but that's not how it works. And I'd like the students to ask, why doesn't it work, and what does it mean to be an Aboriginal person in Canada today?
So what can students learn from this I Don't Know More movement, or how can they get more involved in this kind of social justice activism realm?
I think that if they went on the I Don't Know More website, there's even a package within the I Don't Know More website on how to do a presentation about I Don't Know More, because everything is on there to even have a PowerPoint presentation for you. And it basically, I believe that I Don't Know More should be presented by non-Aboriginal people, because it's them who we want to ally with to work against these omnibus bills that are going to hurt our environment. Mm-hmm. So I think that they just need to do their homework and ask questions, because it's going to affect their life and their children's life and their children's lives, you know, their grandchildren's lives and so on and so forth. So I think that as educated people of St. FX and leaders of, you know, possible leaders in the future, they should understand all of Canada's history, not just what they know from the radio and what they know from the TV and social media.
Okay, welcome back to CFXU 93.3 FM, The Fox. You're here with Lisa and Rachel, the producers of this week's Social Justice Radio Show on Treaty Day, Mi'kmaq History Month, I Don't Know More, and initiatives that are going on around campus.
Yeah, and I mean, how great that was to link up kind of how important it is to think about things like Mi'kmaq rights and First Nations rights with the upcoming election. And I think it's really important for all of us to, when we're voting, to keep those things in mind, like look at the party's platforms. What is their perspective on Aboriginal rights in Canada, and what are they going to do to make sure that the treaties that we just talked about are honored for Aboriginal people?
Yeah, and for settler society as well, because as both Ashley and Sheila extensively talked about, is that these treaties that were signed before Canada's founding are treaties between the settlers and Aboriginals. They're treaties that white people and that settlers and newcomers to Canada have to uphold as well. It's not just something that's there for the benefit of Aboriginal people. It's an agreement and a signed document between two bodies of people, and it's responsibility and right and privilege for both of those bodies to uphold what has been outlined in those fundamentally important documents.
Yeah. So maybe we'll just let everyone know once more about this event going on tomorrow. So the Sisters in Spirit Vigil and Expo will be taking place all day from 8 a.m. till 8 p.m. tomorrow. They'll be set up outside the Angus L. MacDonald Library, which is the university main library for all you students listening. And what do they have going on, Lisa?
So from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., there's going to be an information booth. And then from 12:30 p.m. to 1 o'clock, there's going to be hot chocolate and the Mi'kmaq honor song, which we also played earlier in the show. And that's a very culturally significant song. And I've heard it many times, and it's just as powerful every time. So
pretty special to be a part of. To be a part of that.
And then at 7 p.m., there's going to be a candle lighting. And there's also this campaign going on called Too Many Empty Shoes, which Ashley talked about a bit earlier. So the blurb here is that each year on October 4th, communities across Canada come together to honor the lives of missing and murdered Aboriginal women and girls, men and boys. As you do so, we remember the lives of sisters, brothers, daughters, sons, mothers, fathers, and grandmothers and grandfathers tragically taken from us. So they're having a shoe donation to try to raise awareness about the over 500 missing and murdered Aboriginal individuals in Canada. So one interesting thing when talking about that statistic is that a lot of people think that 500 isn't a large number, but when you think of it in proportion to the amount of Aboriginal people in Canada, it is like staggeringly and like unjustly high. So just keep in mind those proportions when you hear statistics, because Aboriginals are overrepresented in every negative aspect of our society. So they're doing a shoe donation to try to actually demonstrate and put a face to the name of these people that are missing. But that basically concludes our hour. We're out of time, but thank you so much for tuning in to the show as we sit here on traditional Mi'kmaq territory at Santa Fe at CFXU. Next week, our show is on oral histories, I believe.
And the importance of language in culture, which we touched on a little bit tonight, but we'll go in depth with next week, also with a feature from ADA, which is our partner call and response radio station in southern Ghana.
Yeah, and more focus on Gaelic and Scottish history, more so than Aboriginal history today. But that concludes our show for this week. Thanks so much for listening. Stay tuned for more great programming here on CFXU. All with lots of great stuff. And until next time, thanks so much.